This is Twit.
I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive along with Sam Abulsamid. He's the car guy, researcher at analyst at Navigant Research. He joins us every week. He's our newest member of the tech guy team to talk about cars. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Liel. How are you this
week? I'm great. It's freezing in the Motor City, I hear.
Yeah, it's a little bit chilly. It's about 13 degrees here today.
Yikes.
Supposed to have a high on Tuesday of about -4, so. But then it's going to warm up after that.
You said we should talk today about self-driving vehicles. There's a lot of confusion, and Tesla, by the way, did not help this by calling their what is really a driver assist autopilot. It isn't an autopilot. It doesn't.
Well, you know, if you actually look at what autopilot systems and aircraft do, it's actually not that far off from autopilot systems do, because those are actually pilot assist systems. They're not self-flying systems.
But people assume when they hear autopilot that they can go to sleep and let the car drive, which is a very bad idea.
Which is unfortunate, you know, and it's unfortunate that we've seen a lot of videos on YouTube and other places of owners, primarily of Teslas, but occasionally of some other stuff, you know, people, you know, taking a nap or climbing into the back seat and doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Don't do that. Right. In fact, Tesla is really pretty aggressive in their software. It's about checking to see if your hands are on the wheel and making you tap the wheel every once in a while.
They've gotten more aggressive as
sure
there have.
Have
been more issues, you know, people getting into crashes because they haven't been paying attention.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about, was the difference between driver assist systems and full automated driving or highly automated driving. And, you know, the Society of Automotive Engineers, of which I've been a member for more than 30 years, is, you know, one of the things that they do is they define, you know, they define standards, industry standards, for all kinds of things, you know, various test procedures, you know, the way that manufacturers, for example, test towing ratings, you know, so you can compare everything, you know, side by side. And one of the things they did a few years back is they defined a taxonomy or a language for automated driving. And, you know, a lot of people probably heard of the, you know, these six levels of driving, from level zero, which is, you know, like my car, my 1990 Miata that has no driver assist features. It's all manual, up through level five, which is a fully automated vehicle that can drive anywhere, anytime, under any conditions, and which doesn't actually exist and probably won't exist for a long time to come.
So what's the best you can get right now? Is like that Cadillac CTS you took me for a ride in?
Yeah, so that's what we call a level, you know, kind of a level two system. You know, part of the problem is the way those levels are defined is a little vague, and they're kind of broad. But that's what we call a partially automated system.
So it does a couple of things. It will do lane keeping. Mm-hmm. So it'll steer the car. You can actually, in this case, it's looking at your eyes, not your hands.
Yeah.
So on the Cadillac. So you can keep your hands off the wheel. You can sit there with your hands folded. But you need to watch the road. And it will alert you. It'll vibrate you pretty vigorously. If you're not watching the road,
it vibrates your seat.
Yeah.
And it also starts flashing a light bar in the top of the steering wheel.
It will this newer kind of cruise control where it slows down and stops if the car in front of you slows down and stops, and then it'll pick up again if the car moves again. I find that I do that in my Tesla. It's great for stop and go driving.
Yeah. That's called adaptive cruise control. And
love
it uses
that.
A radar sensor in the front of the car that measures the distance and the closing speed to the car in front of you. And so when you know, in the old days, you know, you'd set your cruise control to 70 miles an hour or whatever the speed was. And, you know, the car would just try to maintain that speed.
Yeah.
Regardless of what was going on around it. And then, you know, in the last 15 years, they've gotten smarter and they added these radar sensors to detect that distance to the car ahead of you. So now when the car ahead of you slows down, the adaptive cruise will automatically slow you down. And that's what we call a level one system.
I like that. It maintains a stop. Safe stopping distance at all times, no matter what your speed. What it won't do is stop at a stoplight.
Right. Yeah, it won't stop at stoplights, so it's not reading traffic signals. You know, but it's following the car in front of you. So if there's nobody in front of you, then it's just going to continue to try to control it at whatever speed you set. And so systems that control just one function, like either the speed or the steering, you know, for like lane keeping assist systems, those are level one systems. When you combine two of those together, that becomes a level two system. That's what the Cadillac CT6 has with its Super Cruise. That's what Autopilot does, and systems from a number of other manufacturers like Volvo's Pilot Assist. Those are level two systems, but they're not designed to drive on their own. They're designed for the driver to still be engaged. You still have to be ready to take over control at any moment, because these systems are not perfect. The sensors, you know, are still limited in their functionality, and they can't do everything. So you now you still have to be paying attention.
I think if you understand that, it actually is very useful. I feel safer when I use that autopilot. As long as I pay attention, I'm safer than if I didn't have it. It really helps me drive better, I think.
Right, and the thing that Tesla, actually pretty much everybody in the industry up until now, has done differently from what Cadillac is doing, is the way they figure out if the driver is still there paying attention is there's a steering angle sensor in the wheel, and it's looking for slight motions. You know, when your hands are on the wheel, there's always a little bit of motion there. They're never completely still. So it's looking for that motion to decide, you know, determine if you're still paying attention. Unfortunately, that's not always necessarily a very good indicator. You know, if you actually do hold your hands fairly still, a lot of times it'll give you a false positive. So you end up getting these alerts that you don't need to get. Because
I get them all the time. It's almost annoying, but it's still, again, I think it's safer. Now, the Tesla does something unusual, which is if you want, it will change lanes for you. All you have to do is hit the turn signal. It'll look and see if it's clear, although my experience is it's not perfect. You still want to look. And then it'll change lanes for you. Does the Cadillac do that too?
The Cadillac doesn't do that right now. And that's what we refer to as auto lane change. One other brand that does do that right now is Mercedes-Benz on their intelligent drive system. So both the Tesla and the Mercedes, you tap the steering wheel and it uses the sensors on the side of the car to look to see if there's anybody in the adjacent lane on whichever direction. So if you want to change lanes to the left, it'll look to your left using the blind spot sensors. And if it's all clear, then it will automatically steer the car into the adjacent lane and then, you know, start tracking that new lane.
The technologies these cars use are cameras, as you mentioned, radar, and then some self-driving vehicles use LiDAR. Are there any production cars that use LiDAR?
There is one production model right now that has LiDAR, but it's not really being used yet, and that's the new Audi A8.
They tend to be very expensive LiDAR, and it's making a 3D image of everything around the vehicle. So I think a lot of people believe LiDAR is the best way to do autonomous self-driving.
It's generally believed to be one of the three key components, and actually there's increasingly moves towards adding a fourth, which is infrared and thermal imaging, night vision.
And you see people and animals, which is very helpful.
To help you detect live objects.
Each of
the different kinds of sensors, whether it's LiDAR, radar, cameras, they all have different strengths and weaknesses, and so you want to What engineers try to do is use them together with a little bit of overlap so you have redundancy. So, you know, radar is good for seeing through fog and mist, which cameras can't do. And LiDAR kind of struggles with, but it doesn't get, you know, radar won't give you a really high definition, at least current radars won't give you a high definition view of what's around.
Sam Abul-Simid, it is so great to talk to you. We will talk again next week. Navigant Research. Have a great day. And is there anywhere we can read more about your stuff? Where do you publish?
I publish some stuff on Forbes. You can find my, you know, occasional articles on there.
Okay.
I have a podcast called Wheel Bearings at wheelbearings.media.